You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. This is your WLCX Daily News Roundup for the Eagle 1490 AM in La Crosse.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The La Crosse County Board approved a measure to accept $350,000 in state grant money for the Pathways Home Program. The measure, which was previously also approved by the La Crosse Common Council, will provide funding to hire an additional social worker and help with housing assistance, treatment plans, and supplies. Funding from the grant runs through 2027. To date, the Pathways Home Program has aided in housing over 150 people, in addition to providing other services for people who are experiencing homelessness. City officials will continue hearings for property owners who are objecting to their property assessments today. According to city documents, over 30 different property owners are contesting their assessments. It's not just residential homeowners either. Businesses are also on the schedule for objection hearings during the four-day process. On Thursday, the Citizens Board of Review went over the procedure for contesting real property assessments ahead of the objection hearings, which are scheduled to wrap up on Tuesday. Flags at government buildings in Wisconsin will fly at half-staff tomorrow in remembrance of State Patrol Bureau Director David Pabst and his wife, Terry Pabst, who were allegedly killed by their son, James Pabst, on July 8. James was found south of Viroqua after the murders took place, and after a standoff with law enforcement, took his own life, according to the Vernon County Sheriff's Office. David was with the State Patrol for 38 years, while Terry worked as a special education instructor. Services will be held this weekend for David and Terry in Middleton. The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa south of La Crosse is now scheduled for closure and demolition later this year. The Iowa DOT said that the Lansing Bridge, also known as the Blackhawk Bridge, will stay open until this fall. Then, it will be closed and demolished to make way for remaining construction on its replacement. The 94-year-old bridge was closed twice in the past 2 years for structural issues. Construction on its replacement began 2 years ago, and the new bridge is set to open in 2027. Political parties hosted events Thursday in the Cooley region in support of their respective sides of the National Budget Reconciliation Bill debate. In La Crosse, Democrats held an event opposing the bill and Congressman Derek Van Orden, who voted in favor of it. At the event, party leaders spoke about the impacts of cuts to programs like Medicaid in the bill. Meanwhile, in Crawford County, Republicans rallied in support of Van Orden and the federal budget bill. The event was held in Prairie du Chien, where Van Orden lives. A series of protests named Good Trouble Lives On took place across Wisconsin Thursday. With more on one of those events, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Congressman and civil rights leader John Lewis coined the term good trouble, or necessary trouble, saying Rosa Parks inspired him and others to nonviolent activism in opposition to civil rights violations. One attendee at the protest in Wisconsin Rapids said John Lewis's actions are inspiration for what people need to do now.
I was very inspired by John Lewis, his story, how he kept getting back up, was beaten pretty badly a number of times, and the stamina and the determination are just inspiring, and now it's time we do it.
Blake Olison spoke about how encouraging it was to see the turnout at this protest, considering the demographics in the area.
So I was really glad to see so many people come out and speak up against the human rights violations of the Trump administration and make some good trouble, as John Lewis would have called it. We had about 100 people come out today, which is phenomenal for a town of 18,000 that usually runs pretty red. So I was really excited to be here and be with people with like minds.
According to the organization's website, around 40 protests took place in Wisconsin on the fifth anniversary of the death of Congressman John Lewis. The website, goodtroubleliveson.org, stated, "Trump is trying to divide us, but we know the power of coming together." I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Organizers said that the protests were aimed at bringing attention to, quote, "the most brazen rollback of civil rights in generations." An elections clerk is found to have broken the law in the presidential election, according to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Now, the commission had already released a bunch of information in their report, but yesterday, its members actually adopted that report with a 5-1 vote. 1 month after the election, Mary Beth Witzel-Bell, then clerk for about two decades, informed city officials that 193 ballots hadn't been counted in the presidential election. She was suspended, then resigned from her post earlier this year. In a 6-month investigation with more than a dozen depositions, the commission says Whistlebell violated the law on 5 counts, including not properly training staff and not having control of the clerk's office operations, printing poll books too early, not handling absentee ballots properly, improper opening and counting of those absentee ballots, and not properly reconciling ballot numbers as part of the canvassing process. Commissioners reiterated their shock that no one outside the clerk's office was told about this error until a month later. Commissioner Don Millis.
Part of the reason why this has gotten the attention, and I guess the attention that we've given it, is not because of the mistakes that were made, but because of the manner in which this was handled. It's disturbing.
However, the commission did not recommend bringing charges against Whistlebell. The commission came up with a list of requirements the city of Madison would have to meet. City Attorney Michael Haas says the clerk's office has already implemented changes to ensure this couldn't happen again. Now Madison city officials will get to give their input before these requirements are adopted by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Voters who were impacted by the ballots not being counted were contacted after the election. Uncertainty with public school funding at the state and federal level is affecting Wisconsin school district budgeting decisions. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
School districts across Wisconsin are facing budget dilemmas following passage of the state's new biennial budget and from funding freezes at the national level. Last year, a record number of referenda from local school districts were on the ballot to fund everything from capital projects to operations. Green Bay area Superintendent Vicki Bayer said districts are cutting to make ends meet.
We've closed and consolidated 3 schools. We've reduced staffing, including 10% of our administrative staff. We've reduced department budgets. We've been at this for 3 years now, and it continues to be a challenge.
Bayer said the same is true for districts across the state.
They're all having conversations about where else can we possibly cut before we start hurting our children. That's across the state for public schools. You will see more schools closing in the next year.
In the spring election cycle, 94 referendums were placed before voters. In 2024, a total of 241 referenda were considered. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
In addition, proposed federal cuts to education funding could further affect school districts, leading to the loss of services and staff. A bill has been introduced that would fund a program discontinued by Republicans who wrote the state budget that aims to help veterans in need of housing. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
3 Northeast Wisconsin legislators have introduced a bill to restore $1.9 million to the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. The VHRP operates 3 short-term housing facilities across the state in Chippewa Falls, Green Bay, and Union Grove. They provide temporary housing, job training, and resources to veterans facing homelessness. While Governor Tony Evers did add almost $2 million to his biennial budget proposal to keep funding all 3 sites, the Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee removed it. The JFC's failure to fund the VHRP will force the centers in Chippewa Falls and the Greater Green Bay area to close. A bill introduced by Senator Jamie Wall of Green Bay, Representative Ryan Spouty of Ashwaubenon, and Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner of Green Bay would restore that funding to the budget and save the location. Locations in Chippewa Falls and Bellevue. Rivera Wagner said veterans deserve better. Quote, in the face of federal cuts that just passed in Congress, it's disrespectful to leave those who have served our country out in the cold at a time where they have the most need. The legislature will reconvene in session this fall. In the meantime, the Chippewa Falls and Bellevue locations of VHRP will close on September 30th. Veterans residing at those locations will be offered alternative placement options and will continue to receive assistance through supportive services. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
All 3 facilities are currently providing all services, but the 2 set to close, including Chippewa Falls here in western Wisconsin, will stop taking applications later this summer. No one was hurt when a cow got loose Wednesday morning near the La Crosse Interstate Fair. According to West Salem Police, the cow was being kept at the fair before it got loose, going through yards before being lassoed near a highway. Police said that it's likely that the new environment caused the cow to run away. When people tried to approach it, the cow charged at people, but eventually it was brought in without any further issues. The cow was not hurt during its adventure, and it was returned to its farm after being captured. Ahead of a heat wave, we'll have pleasant weather for the weekend. Highs through Monday will top out around 80 degrees, with a chance of rain overnight tonight into Saturday. You'll notice the humidity rise through the weekend, and then by Tuesday, highs will climb up to around 90 degrees. The heat index next week could approach 100 degrees, especially south of La Crosse. For now, we'll enjoy quiet weather through Monday here in the Cooley region. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Your baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The second half of the baseball season getting underway as the Brewers open a three-game series on the road against the Dodgers. Quinn Priester from Milwaukee against the Dodgers' Tyler Glasnow. At the start of the season, manager Pat Murphy was struggling to find starting pitchers. Now he's got Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff, Jacob Mizorowski, Brewers catcher Eric Haas.
Yeah, I was joking with Murph about that, you know, to where we were to start, or we're just looking for innings anywhere we could find them. And we had a lot of young guys come up and throw some very meaningful and really good innings for us. And getting these guys back, we kind of planned to be in the clubhouse in the first place. You know, they haven't broken stride. They've joined us, and they've done nothing but put up zeros for us. They're a big factor with why we're winning.
NBA Damian Lillard agreeing to a three-year contract to return to Portland in a deal worth $42 million. He'll be joined by Drew Holiday, who the Bucks traded away 2 years ago to bring Lillard to Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In 2009, Joaquin Phoenix acted really strange on an episode of The Late Show with David Letterman. The Gladiator actor appeared on the same stage in the same theater on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on Tuesday and discussed his Letterman appearance, saying he deeply regretted it. During his previous Late Show appearance, Phoenix says he was parodying a character he was playing in a film that was about to be released at the time called I'm Still Here, a mockumentary about Phoenix leaving acting to become a hip-hop artist. Phoenix wore a dark suit and sunglasses and said little. He told Colbert he was hoping Dave would lacerate him after informing the Late Show staff that was how he was going to appear for the interview. In hindsight, it was a disaster. The Oscar-winning Phoenix called the interview and the entire experience a disaster and uncomfortable. I remember that night, and he's putting it mildly. Did you know Madonna and Gwyneth Paltrow were friends? Me either. Did you know they were no longer friends? I didn't either. Until now, thanks to People magazine, which published an excerpt from Gwynnie P's new memoir called Gwyneth, The Biography. I wonder if the actual book is as much of a snooze as that title. Apparently, the breaking point in their friendship was when Madonna crashed the Oscar-winning actress's vacay unannounced with her children and at one point started yelling at them. Paltrow's husband at the time, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin, had had enough, and so had Paltrow, who admitted she can ice people out and harbor revenge, adding that her and Madge's friendship had become toxic, possibly similar to the toxicity found in her crotch-based aroma products from her company Goop. It's true. Paltrow says the two became friends when they both realized they liked to sound British sometimes. I might have made that part up. But it's true. I Know What You Did Last Summer leads the way of new releases this coming weekend. If you're in the mood for nostalgia, you can bring the kids, who might enjoy an updated take on one of your favorite thrillers from the mid-90s. The film will provide a nice bridge between Superman and the next big expected blockbuster release when Fantastic Four drops next week. I Know What You Did Last Summer is pulling a not-so-terrible-for-a-teen-thriller-movie 50-ish on Rotten Tomatoes. There are already some good family films out there like How to Train Your Dragon and Lilo and Stitch, and you might want to take a look as this week's new release on the family front is The Smurfs, and only drawing 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. A24's Eddington also hits theaters this weekend. The film stars Joaquin Phoenix and Pedro Pascal as a sheriff and mayor who face off in a small town in New Mexico. The film is nabbing a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes and might be worth a look based on cast alone. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A great day to be outside today. Mostly sunny skies with a high near 76. For tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing, mainly after midnight, lows in the mid-60s. Still a shower or storm hanging around Saturday morning, otherwise partly sunny, highs near 80. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
That's your WLCX Daily News Roundup from Civic Media. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. Find more news at lacrosseeagle.com. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.